weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
I don't know about you, but I can't really remember learning about any politics whatsoever at school. Most of mine came from John Craven's News Round. Well, somebody has set out to put that to rights through a political literacy course. His name is Matteo Bergamini. Have I got that right?
Bergamini.
Okay, that's a close. Sorry. He's running a political literacy course at Camborne Village College and the Lays School as well. I'll just call you Matteo, then that would be easier.
That'd
to
be perfect.
Thank you very much. When you go into the schools, what sort of knowledge is there? Is there a complete lack, or are the kids picking up on stuff more through social media?
It's excuse me, it's a bit of both, really. And it really does vary depending on the school you go to. And what I mean by that, it doesn't mean that in private schools, say, they are more engaged or know more than state schools. It really is completely luck of the draw, because apart from Cambridge, we also do quite a few boroughs in London and Dartford and so forth. And just across the mat, there is really sort of some kids that have literally no idea or no understanding of it at all.
And when you say no understanding, they just don't know how the system works, don't know which party's in power,
that sort
of thing?
Don't know the difference between a councillor and an MP.
Right.
Some don't even know, for example, that an MP represents them or what a constituency is. Don't know what a bill is or a law. Some in some of the boroughs we work in also don't actually know who the Prime Minister is in some extreme cases. So that's the kind of disparity.
Now that's interesting about. Because I know it used to be said that of the, if you like, the differences in news between the various networks, whereas Radio 4 might just say the Prime Minister or Theresa May, Radio 1 might explain the Prime Minister, Theresa May, just to drum it in, to an audience that might not necessarily be so familiar. So you can see what the direction of travel in a way.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it comes from because they might catch some information from the media, they may catch some information from their parents. A lot of it is also how politically orientated their parents are as well, which also provides a slightly I don't want to say sinister, but slightly sad side, in the sense that there's a lot of also misinformation, so misunderstandings of certain systems, because their parents may not have been taught it, picked up certain things, or understood half of something.
So I guess like anything, bad habits get passed on, whether it's not washing your hands before you eat a meal, or the view of what a political party stands for.
Yeah, I mean, one of the more recurring points is that MPs are not trustworthy, or this distrust towards MPs. And a lot of that doesn't actually necessarily come from the media, although some of it may, because of how MPs either reported or what's been going on. But also just because their parents had a distrust of the media, of MPs.
No, they probably have a distrust of the media too, for most reasons.
So that gets passed down. One thing that is, however, massively enlightening for me anyway, and quite a bit of good news, is that all across the board, be it in Cambridge, be it in Croydon, where we also teach, or Harrow, Wembley, wherever else, there is a massive hunger to learn politics. There is that huge amount of interest from
and do you think
people.
Do you think it's been enhanced, because we've had a number, shall we say, now of major political events over the past 12 months or so? Brexit obviously won, and then of course in the United States the election of Donald Trump, and then the outcry against him, which we saw manifest itself yesterday in the Market Square, and of course right the way across the UK as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely think that supercharged a lot of it. You know, we are living in probably one of the, at least for myself, being 24 and everyone under me, it's sort of the most interesting politics has been in our lifetime. You know, before that, it was always seen as quite dull, quite not really, it doesn't really involve you, or it doesn't really have much of an impact on you, at least directly. Whereas Brexit showed that if we don't engage, and obviously not forgetting that the majority of my generation and below did vote Remain, for instance, they felt that their voice wouldn't be listened to. And that, although some may see it as a bad thing that we're leaving, or a good thing, depending on where you stand, what it has shown is that politics does impact your life. And it does impact what you, what society.
Yeah, because that's one of the other interesting things you find when you speak to somebody, I don't care for politics, don't at all. Then you ask them about what they think of the roads or what they think of the health service, and actually, that's politics.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Brexit or the leaving of the European Union was a perfect example of how politics directly impacts your life. And a lot of these young people, a lot of the next generation saw that. And they had that interest before, but that just drummed it into them. So, for example, after the day of Brexit, for instance, I've never seen my Facebook feed so cluttered up with comments and so much profanity before in my life as well, just because of a lot of people being quite unhappy. But from that, we also saw a lot more schools taking on the course and a lot more schools becoming interested in the course because of demand. Not
necessarily teachers, were they asked? Do you think the teachers were being asked by the pupils to expand on something? I guess like any subject, teachers do very well. They have to cover, though, a wide range of subjects. So when you get to a certain level, you kind of have to bring somebody in. I guess that's where you end up stepping forward.
Yeah, so a lot of these, especially the newer schools, a lot of it was a bottom-down approach, in the sense that the young people were asking, can we be taught more about this? What is happening there? What is this? What is that? What is that? So teachers went out looking for a political literacy course, something that would help their students understand the political landscape and understand what is going on in a very, very sort of a broad
And the ages way. when you're going into Camborne Village College and the Leys School as well, what sort of age range are you pitching this at? Or does it, you then, if you like, change the presentation? Presentation's wrong for school children, but you change the curriculum according to how old the kids are.
Sure, yeah. No, I mean, the material does stay vaguely the same, but it does get more complicated as you go up. So we normally pitch it to year nines and above. So with delays is around sixth form students, and with Camborne VC it's high school kids, the top end of high school, talking GCSE and so forth. And obviously because of the two age ranges, the materials are slightly less complex. For example, for the GCSE,
what would I learn if, in say, you know, you'd come into the classroom for the first time? What would be in the first lesson?
Sure. So there is. So for the first lesson, we deal with something very basic. The unit's called Introduction to British Politics, which deals with sort of a very, very quick whip through history about how we got to a constitution, a parliamentary democracy, or rather a constitutional monarchy.
So we're almost back to Cromwell, are we, at that point?
Not quite. It's quite quick in that respect, just to give you a very, very brief background, because you need that background to actually be able to understand everything else. And then we talk about how a bill becomes a law. We then look at councillors and look at their local councillors and their local MPs. What are the differences? What do they do? The sort of bare-bone basics at the beginning. Then we go into Unit 2, which is international relations, and a bit about around political theory, just very, very basics of what is left, what is right. You know, things that you always hear again in the media, but if you've never been taught about it, why would you know, for example, you know, Jeremy Corbyn has taken Labour to the left? What does that mean? What does that actually mean?
Where is the left? Many, many might ask.
You know, but what if for you as a young person, or even someone slightly older per se, if you've never been taught about it, why would you know what that actually means? I mean, we're living in a society at the moment where we hit 18 and then we're expected to vote and engage without ever being taught how any of this stuff works and however being able to engage in it. It's almost like handing a book to an illiterate person and asking them to read. I mean, they may have the best intentions to try and engage with that content. They may look at the pictures and think that's fantastic, really want to do it, but suddenly they get frustrated and then move away and never pick it up again. And that's the danger we're having with politics, where you've got an entire generation which wants to engage. They're crying out to engage. But politics is a language. You need to be taught how to engage with that language.
So and then, do you think politics has shifted at all? I mentioned at the beginning kids potentially picking things up on social media. There's quite a bit of campaigning seems to go on. I notice local councillors, a number of local councillors at least, will use Twitter to, well, barrack the opposition, amongst other things, which isn't particularly helpful, but also to explain what they're doing in their communities as well. And that presumably has the opportunity to pick up on a younger generation, which is perhaps more familiar with social media like Facebook and Twitter.
Yes, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the internet certainly has made politics more direct, whereas before you literally relied on print newspapers to give you the news, or the TV, and depending which case. And you had no real direct connection with your MP or council.
Well, that's interesting. You mentioned the newspapers. Of course, newspapers have a political agenda, which not everybody realises. And I don't know if that's part of
the course as well.
Just so people know where various papers are coming from. But of course, there's no guarantee that even if somebody appears to be, I don't know, an independent speaker, there's no guarantee. You don't know what their politics are and what direction that they're shuffling you into from the pages of social media. There's invariably there's some sort of agenda.
Well, with social media, it's the same thing. It's just it's, you know, because if you look at take Facebook for instance, Facebook does aggregate what you see and what comes up on your feed because they want to sell you more advertising. So, you know, if you buy a hat once and suddenly hats start appearing more and more on your Facebook feed and so forth as adverts, they do the same for articles and so forth as well. So if you click on a couple of Guardian articles, you will end up naturally seeing more, not just Guardian, but maybe other publications that have got similar political leaning, because Facebook know that that is what you like and that is what you'll click on, because obviously they're trying to sell advertising. What that, however, creates is after a while you end up living in this bubble that if you, for example, only read anti-Trump articles, or you've clicked on several anti-Trump articles, all you will end up seeing is negative commentary around Trump. So in a way, social media is doing the exact same thing what we used to have with papers. You know, if you only read the Daily Mail, you would only get the Daily Mail's opinion. Nowadays, if you start clicking on certain publications, you will end up living in that bubble which those publications write about, and you don't get a broader opinion. So although, yes, the internet's great, it's given us more direct access to our politicians, in reality, we are still creating a bubble for us because of that way the social media aggregates.
How many weeks do you do, which we'll finish in a moment, I'm interested in how long the course actually runs for? Do you sort of, you know, turn up at a school and do every, I don't know, every fortnight for 20 weeks or something?
So the course lasts 6 weeks. It's 2 hours per week. So it's 12 hours in total, divided into three units. And as I said, you know, first one's introduction to British politics, second one is international relations, and third one's around employability and politics. So it's not just politics that we teach, but also public speaking, debating and presentation skills, which are the things that school use quite often for, you know, Ofsted and so forth, that is pushing them to do a load of more stuff around employability. And that helps them, not just in politics, because obviously that those skills are relevant, but any career you dare choose, it will help you with understanding how to debate and how to engage people in a professional manner.
Okay, well, look, Matteo, thank you very much for coming up. The company, I should mention, is Shout Out UK. So a shout out to Shout Out if anybody's interested in getting in touch with Matteo. But thank you very much for coming. It's an interesting area, particularly at this particular time. Thanks again. It's 14 away from 5 o'clock.